you have a WAN, probably a private MPLS WAN, and probably an internet-based VPN as well. For the most part, you send your traffic across the private WAN and hope for the best. Now, if the private WAN goes down, the internet's the backup you use, hoping to get back to the private WAN just as quickly as possible. Okay, then for fun, we're going to sprinkle into this mix of public and private WAN, QoS, routing protocols, and then security concerns, and it all gets to be kind of a sticky ball of complexity and stuff, and any of us that do routing and engineering in that space know that to be the case. Well, here's the thing. WAN complexity does not need to be such a pain in the butt. Here on the Packet Pushers Priority Queue, we are introducing CloudGenix, a software-defined WAN company that doesn't just reduce WAN management problems, but also makes it easier to enforce business policy in the cloud. I'm Ethan Banks at EC Banks on Twitter, and with me also is Greg Farrell. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm feeling stimulated and vibrantly excited to be here on the greatest podcast on data networking at the Packet Pushers Priority Queue channel.
It's the greatest podcast until someone tells us differently, I guess. Until then, we can lay claim to that title.
Well, I think there's not that many networking podcasts, but that's what makes us great, perhaps.
Big fish in a small pond, maybe? All right.
I'll take it.
Joining us from CloudGenix is Kumar Ramachandran. Kumar, was I even close to pronouncing your name right?
Oh, my mom will be proud the way you called my name out.
Oh, all right. Kumar, thanks for coming on Packet Pushers and the Priority Queue Show. Would you introduce yourself to folks?
Absolutely. I'm Kumar Ramachandran. Co-founder and CEO for CloudGenix. My background was that I held a variety of roles at Cisco in product management and marketing for the WAN products. And before that, I was on the customer side rather than the vendor side. And I was building applications and managing infrastructure for companies like Citibank, Provident Financial, amongst others.
Okay, you live right in this space, and you have for a long time, even before CloudGenix started up. So I assume then you're looking at this from a customer perspective, that customers have issues, which I kind of alluded to in my intro there, on the WAN. You want to talk through from your perspective what you're seeing as customer issues that CloudGenix is helping to address?
We started CloudGenix to address three big pain points amongst customers. So in late 2012, as we started talking with a variety of customers, the big challenges that they were seeing were really related to the wide area network. We were seeing virtualization and automation happen in the data center, but the wide area network was now proving to be the last bastion of hardware-based models that have high complexity. So what we do is we go on and take on the challenges of security, of how do you deploy heterogeneous WANs, and how do you deploy applications in a world where applications are no longer sitting just in our data centers and they are being consumed by a heterogeneity of devices. So we go and solve the application delivery problem over the wide area network for that for this new model.
Okay, so there's a lot of pieces to this. I mean, some folks are going, yeah, but I can already deliver a lot of these applications over my existing WAN. You know, but there's pieces to an SD-WAN solution and to the CloudGenix solution that are making it easier. One thing, for example, multiple transports. So I know from, since I have an engineering background, if I'm dealing with private MPLS and I'm dealing with internet and, you know, maybe LTE backup, something like that, I am traditionally relying on routing protocols to carry that traffic across those different transports. And they're pretty distinct to me how they behave. And I've only got a best path choice and so on. With SD-WAN, one of the value propositions I've been hearing about is that life gets easier.
That's exactly right. So, you know, I think a good analogy to what the CloudGenix SD-WAN does in this respect really is virtualization. So what server virtualization did for our data centers. So as the hypervisor came along, we no longer had to manage to the underlying infrastructure. We don't have to worry about, is this a server with an Intel CPU from Dell, from HP, a white box, AMD? You don't have to worry about those. You instantiate and provision a virtual machine and your applications ride on it. We're doing something similar for the wide area network. Today, you have to manage to the details of your carrier infrastructure, the routing protocols you specify, the encryption you specify, and there is just a ton of manual, highly complex, resulting in a brittle infrastructure. Effectively, what we are doing is pooling all your WAN resources together, abstracting away the complexities of the underlying WAN providers, and now slicing and dicing up the WAN in ways that are best suited for the applications riding on them. So you move from a model where you have to manage to the details of the infrastructure to a model where you manage to what your business and your applications are trying to accomplish.
Okay, you just said something pretty key there right at the end. So you said dealing with what your business is trying to accomplish. What does that mean to CloudGenix? Because everyone's got kind of a different story around that.
Right. You know, when you look at all the verticals, right, what are businesses trying to do? If you look at retail, in the retail space, you hear about omni-channel initiatives, meaning that I need to deliver rich media video to my retail store because I want to give an experience to my customer that is as compelling, if not more compelling, than the online version. Right. So we have a customer where what they want to do is when you walk into the retail store, as you let's say you're trying to buy a pair of ski boots, you get to talk to an absolute expert in skiing over a video chat, and he or she is able to explain to you that maybe you need three other things, right? In my case, for instance, when I last wanted to hike up Yosemite, I showed up wanting to buy a pair of mountain hiking shoes. And the guy on the video quickly said that, hey, maybe you need a chain to attach yourself to the mountain because one look at me and he decided I'm going to fall off the mountain. Now,
you know? I take one look at me and go, what, you know what hiking boots are?
And the best part was this, right? I walked in assuming I was going to spend $50. I walked out spending about $200, $300 and actually being grateful to the guy for, you know, setting me with the right kind of equipment I needed. The retail store benefits because they get to upsell the customer, but in a way that is actually beneficial to the customer. You look at banking, right? The days of ATMs that you use for withdrawing money, they are past. And what banks are trying to do is get automated teller assist, where someone from a call center shows up on that video screen and they can work with you on the next set of financial products that are going to be appropriate for you, right? And so on. If you look at healthcare, different set of initiatives with live patient video streaming, etc. So we really are seeing a lot of high density applications or high bandwidth applications making their way to the remote sites. That's what the business is trying to do. When I wear my IT hat, immediately as the business tries to accomplish these things, we are faced with the prospect of needing to make significant WAN upgrades, of needing to change our security posture considerably. And so it becomes an elongated process from the time the business says, hey, we need to make this particular application be delivered efficiently to our remote sites to when it's actually delivered.
We've really got these pressures across the board in IT to get more bandwidth out to the edge of the network. So where once upon a time the branch had maybe had a cash register and a couple of thin clients, it's now doing video conference or email to laptops and stuff like that, and there's more bandwidth. But I can see that, and that same is happening in any corporate network as well. You know, all of the remote locations are becoming standalone. There's servers out there trying to do backups over the WAN, that sort of stuff. But increasing bandwidth is becoming more and more expensive. I mean, bandwidth doesn't actually get cheaper every year somehow. It seems to sort of stay about the same. Is there a way, can we do something better with SDN-WAN to increase the available bandwidth or increase the utilization?
That's right. So, you know, I really think that none of us would ever walk into a situation where we pay $10,000 and get $5,000 worth, right? A good negotiation for all of us is that we pay $10,000 and hopefully get $20,000 worth, right? But that's exactly what our customers are doing today with their wide area networks, right? I pay for two circuits, but it's active and it's backup, right? And I can't use the right circuit for the right application. So what we do is we make all your circuits, all your WANs, be consumed in an active manner across all your applications. Now, moment you want to do that, you're presented with a set of both technical and business issues, right? The technical issue is that once I have multiple circuits and I have applications flowing over them, we at CloudGenix, we strongly believe that you can't spray and pray packets across multiple links. You need to bring in the notion of application flows, right? Because anyone that's ever managed a network knows that troubleshooting a spray-pray packet routed network is just a nightmare, right? I don't want to do that ever again if I can avoid it.
And but it's also a performance problem too, because when packets get out of it, when you spray them across multiple links, two, three, four, when they get to the other end, they come there out of order. Each one of the links propagates at different speed. And the other end has to put it back together. And then there's this delay and this jitter and all this sort of stuff that actually slows the applications down. So you increase your bandwidth, but you're impacting the really good throughput, the actual good put of the network.
That's right. And then what happens to your security guy? All of a sudden, his next-gen firewalls, they're all sending these crazy alarms because they see packets coming in, asymmetric routes happening, packets coming in one connection, coming back from the data center on the other connection. So the moment you want to have this kind of an active usage model, you need to, one, have application session awareness. You need to eliminate asymmetries where if your remote site makes a decision that this is the connection I want to use for the data center, you want the flow on the other side to respect that. You need a way to slice up the WAN in an intelligent way so that your application performance goals, your application SLAs, they are driving the conversation, right? And that's exactly what a CloudGenix SD-WAN solution does. It eliminates the need to have active backup models. You present all the WAN capacity to a remote site. The CloudGenix device or the solution, it takes all the capacities, all the capabilities of your WAN and says, okay, let me pool them all in an active set of resources. And then let me take each application flow, ensure that independent of which transport it's riding on, right? It can be internet, it can be LTE, MPLS. I secure it at a transport level, so there's encryption. I ensure that there is the right kind of performance SLA being met, and I also ensure that if you have compliance directives as to which flows need to traverse an aggregated firewall, we can help do that too, right? So it's a very powerful solution that takes the administrator away from the details of having to manage all those things manually today.
Yeah, that's important because that security issue is not one I focused on before. I mean, the good put, you know, by having packets, you know, steering an application down the same network over and over means that the flows are flowing smoothly to and from the client and the server, between the client and the server. You're also getting the bandwidth advantage of steering flows down multiple networks, so you're using all your bandwidth. But the security one is, if you think about how you terminate your WAN routers, let's say you've got two providers in your network, and you know two MPLS networks are terminating in your edge, you've probably got a firewall on each WAN circuit. You don't have one firewall for both, and you probably put them in sync, or you've got IDS units inspecting the stuff on the. And if you start flowing different flows down each of those WAN tail circuits in your core, then all of a sudden half of it's on one side and half's on the other side. And if it's spray and pray, your IDS units aren't going to be able to analyze it because it's not seeing the entire TCP session or UDP flow. And so that's where your security risk comes in at an operational level.
Worse, they will analyze it and throw it out because it's not seeing everything it expects to see. That issue too.
So it's firewalls and IDSs because a lot of us do that at the WAN edge.
That's right. And just to pile on to that, right, you look at even something like segmentation and isolation the models that we have at the edge of the network for segmentation and isolation today, these are extremely dependent on the type of the network presented, right? If it's an MPLS network, you apply WERFs, create VLANs, do WERF to VLAN mapping, etc. And of course, nobody ever gets it wrong, right? And that's why when we see these breaches happen, the breaches are uncontained today. The joke I like to make is that several years ago, when I was responsible for some of Citibank's infrastructure, then we had, a breach. And I think, the headlines in the newspaper was that about 100 or so credit cards were breached, right? And there was bad press and publicity at that time. Today, if you're a retailer or a healthcare provider or a bank, and if all that happened to you was 100 credit cards breached, you're probably getting like the Nobel Prize for Secure Networks or some such thing. Yeah. What we saw in 2014 was really that the 2014 to me was a year where it became very clear that the core of the enterprise, the data center, right? We focus so much on securing it, right? We do defense in depth. We also do the models for micro-segmentation that are getting very popular. But the goal that, you know, when there is a breach, because most people consider that it's no longer an if, but really a when there is a breach, you want to ensure that the exposure is temporal and contained to a very small part of the network. It's very difficult to replicate that model at the edge of the network. And what we saw in 2014 is, of course, the people that know that the best are the bad guys on the other side. And they've been attacking the edge of the network, your point of sale systems, the edge of the bank, the edge of the healthcare organization, social engineering at the at your classic engineering sites, etc. So the question becomes, can I treat my wide area network the same way I treat my data center and create these isolation zones, create temporal models where I don't create this old style VPN where, you know, keys are shared across significant parts of your network, keys are rotated very, very infrequently, etc. So those become very important to consider too.
Yeah, you're really talking about virtualizing the wide area. I mean, virtualizing within the data center, you were mentioning it before. That's been done. That's not an unknown thing how to do that. But pushing that virtualization all the way out to the WAN edge is where it gets complicated. And so, right, the edge becomes the bit that you can get at and breach. Things as simple as, oh, this is a wireless cash register. I'm going to sit out in the parking lot and hack that. We don't see those things too much anymore, but it kind of illustrates the point. What you're saying is CloudGenix has the ability to do WAN virtualization all the way out to the edge of the network.
That's a great way to describe it, right? And then the IT benefits of that become that I'm not managing to the details of the infrastructure. I don't have to be stuck solving all the problems of my infrastructure, I can start really addressing my business needs in a rapid manner. I was talking to one of our customers, and you know, his question was, hey, so in this SD-WAN model, right, what becomes the role of IT? And you know, what are the roles of solutions like CloudGenix? And my answer to him was that the role of CloudGenix is to put sand in your feet. And he was like, what does that mean, right? I said, hey,
you've got me. I'm going like, what?
Yeah. Hey, this is the test to see if your listeners are still with us.
Yeah.
So the point really was that when you look at the average IT person, right, and what they're doing on a Friday afternoon, oftentimes they're planning out the change control over the weekend. I need to get some things done. I have a policy to be deployed. It needs to start rolling out across all my routers, different parts of my network, etc. What I'd really like our IT folks to be doing is planning out which beach they're going to and where they're going to lay on the sand, right? And that's really the role.
Yeah, the idea there is that the CloudGenix appliances, now, because I've read up as part of preparing for this, what you're saying is CloudGenix puts an appliance behind the existing routers, and we don't use slow convergence technologies like OSPF or BGP. Your appliances are tracking the live flow. Every flow is passing through the appliance, so it's able to say, I can see that this path is working because the flow is this flow stopped. Oh, well, that path must have failed. I'll send it down a different path. So reconfiguration doesn't require, you know, changing the OSPF configuration and locking yourself out. It's really much more about, I'm going to do this. It's an intentional, deliberate process instead of a hands-off, if I do this, it might do that kind of thing.
That's exactly right. And, we made a very strategic decision on this about 2 years ago. When we look at the set of problems that customers are facing, right, we said, you know, we don't want to be mending routing. We want to be ending routing the way that customers have to deal with it, right? You still are going to have routing protocols and, for the most part, let's make it a service provider problem. Within the enterprise, what you really want to be doing is provide a centralized control policy model. Now, there are some challenges in being able to deliver a centralized policy control versus the fragmented control that you have today. Because once you have a centralized policy control framework, what you want to ensure is that if your centralized controller is not reachable or there is latency in reaching that centralized controller, you want zero impact to your network, right? Mm. So the way that the CloudGenix system has been architected is that the data path, right? The application flows never ever need to flow through the control plane, right? And if the control plane is not reachable, the centralized control plane is not reachable for whatever reason, the network continues to operate very, very efficiently. The only time you really need the controller to be available to the nodes is when you're bringing a new site into your network or you're pushing a major policy change across
the environment. So it's like your scripts. If your script server is not accessible to the routers keep working with their running configuration, your devices are the same. Just because your configuration engine, you know, the SDN controller engine isn't available doesn't mean your devices suddenly give up the ghost.
Yeah, you're getting the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
We're taking the fragmented control of today, centralizing it, but somehow we are still retaining for you the benefits of a distributed system. And that's a very core part of the IP that CloudGenix is delivering for their customers, and it's highly differentiated from anything else out there.
Now, this is a podcast, right? And I think the interesting part here is that the thing that a controller's got is that, like an SNMP manager, you start to get visibility tools as well, don't you?
That's exactly right. Because now when you start saying that, one, I'm a flow-based system, right? So I'm no longer a packet-based system, and I can publish information about applications back to my controller. Now you get a level of visibility and a level of view into your network that just wasn't possible in a practical way before. The way I like to describe this is really I use the analogy of a Google Maps. So, you know, if you look at Google Maps, there's three layers to it, right? You know, there's a terrestrial view where if you're like me and you're going to ride your bike on a weekend like a weekend warrior and I need to huff and puff through a couple hills, then I do want to know every last elevation change. So there is a physical view that we similarly offer in CloudGenix, where you can see how the bits and bytes, how the various service providers, are they meeting the connectivity level SLAs, are there brownouts in the network, etc. Right? I like to say blackouts are easy, brownouts are really difficult to find out, but we're able to do it. The next level of visibility is your default Google Maps view, where you can see all the paths, you can see all the connections, and that's another view that we provide, where you can see all the potential possibilities at any given site, all the routes that your traffic or your applications can take. The third and probably the most interesting view is, especially as your listeners are driving along their roads, you probably entered something into your GPS saying, hey, here's point A, here's point B, tell me the best way to get there. Right, and that's the view where what we show is that the actual allocation of the WAN to an application flow, in our case, is based on application SLAs. So what CloudGenix is doing, and this is very different from maybe a traditional approach to networking, is rather than just rely on bits, bytes, jitter, packet latency, etc., we start looking at application transactions because that's what our network administrator is in the end trying to deliver, right? And we monitor baselines and we select the paths. We do all the network traffic engineering so that the application SLA is the best in terms of meeting the business objectives there.
So what you're saying is you're actually monitoring the round trip time for each flow and in your appliances because new software, new ways of doing things. If you don't believe me, there is actually new ways of doing things. And you're actually monitoring things like round trip time, jitter, sliding windows, you know, ACK delays, all that sort of stuff, and getting a vision for how the application is performing. Not just the IP packets going backwards and forwards, not just the TCP time, but the actual applications that go in there. That's what you're talking about? Did I get that right?
That's right. So we understand the applications flowing on the network. We understand what those SLAs are. In fact, we treat rich media very differently from a transactional application. To take an example, right? If you do a WebEx session, you know, if you're sharing a PowerPoint, that is being negotiated on a different codec, potentially versus other parts of the WebEx. If you use an iPhone for a particular application, it can get negotiated to a different codec compared to using, let's say, your MacBook or, God forbid, a Microsoft-based laptop. But our system right? It understands those things and says, okay, here's this application. How do I ensure the best codec compliance? I'm accessing Office 365. I'm accessing SharePoint. I'm accessing SAP. I'm going to a data center-based application. How, you know, what is the end user experience that the administrator is trying to deliver? And what is the best slice of the WAN that we can create and allocate to this particular user?
Well, Kumar, let's talk for a minute about cost. And here's the thing. We've got routers and WAN circuits and, you know, firewalls and internet and all that stuff that we've already sunk a lot of money into, right? And now we're supposed to spend more money on this solution, which there's a lot of benefits there, but it's yet more money. Most of these kind of products, there's an ROI on this. How do we get the money back out of the CloudGenix solution?
I don't know. Haven't you heard the phrase, spend more to save more?
Yeah, right.
I just don't believe it, really. You know?
That's exactly right. And we don't expect our customers to do so either, right? So there's really three big ways that customers are going to save costs. So the very first is that we truly are a software-based solution. So what that means is this. You can either, you know, take the hardened appliance from us, or you can procure your own white box x86 server. And when you start looking at the remote office footprint that the solution needs, what you really in the old model were doing, you were probably trying to deploy a router and then something for the backup VPN. How do you deal with availability? How do you deal with the security apparatus that potentially needs to be truck rolled almost to every remote site? We eliminate a lot of complexity there and provide a very simplified model with a simple monthly subscription for the software. The second area of savings are around the operational aspects. One of our customers that we are working with, a large bank out of, their IT team sits out of New York, and we were looking at the number of lines of configuration they have to go and advertise across all their network. It probably, you know, goes and fills a couple blocks in New York with just the sheer number of commands and work they have to do. We can represent a very complex network with as few as 20 or 25 distinct application and user policies, right? That's what we mean by getting the administrator out of the weeds of having to manage the details of his network to start to say that, hey, here's how I want my applications and users to come together with the best performance. Here's my corporate compliance directive. Here's my security requirement. You specify that and the system is building that so that you get a huge operational cost saving. The third bucket of saving is around the WAN cost itself, right? The check you cut on a monthly basis for connectivity. Oftentimes, we're seeing that customers can get to save about 50, anywhere between 50 to nearly 70% of their WAN budget. Now, if you think about the WAN budget itself, for many customers, the WAN budget, when you include remote office networking infrastructure, plus the connectivity costs, the price they pay for connectivity, that represents anywhere between 10 to 20% of the total IT budget.
WANs are big money, I mean, really big money, right? And even if I believed you for a minute that you said 50 to 70% off, which I probably don't, and I doubt, let's say for the sake of the argument that I do, but let's say as a typical customer, I'm going to take what you say and halve it. If I can even cut 30% off my WAN budget by making all the circuits active and improving performance at the same time because I'm grooming the traffic so there's less packet loss in the network, so the actual bandwidth is better used, instead of just shoving packets down and finding 20% of them are thrown away, I might get my packet, my packet discards, between the, through packet loss or quash shaping. Because, when you do diff serve and you throw a packet away, that data that's in flight has to be retransmitted. And 10 to 20% of your WAN can actually be dead data being retransmitted because of drops or shaping or something like that. So let's say 30% of a WAN budget is a lot of money, usually measured for any medium to large size company in terms of millions of dollars a year saved.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're not talking about saving costs on the nails that go into making a building, right? We're talking about the bricks that go into the building, right?
You're talking about knocking three floors off the top. because you don't need it.
That's or building three more floors for the same price that you paid before, and you can use it as your penthouse, right?
I'm in for the penthouse bit. I'm so there for that.
Yeah, so you're talking about getting WAN bandwidth back because, number one, you're making better use of the bandwidth that's there, so you don't need to over-provision. And then, two, maybe in some cases you don't need private WAN. You can go internet because it's easier to manage that now and it's still secure. So there's a couple of scenarios there. That's where we're talking about savings coming from, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. I know. Ethan rightfully challenged the 50 to 70% numbers. So where they come from is this, right? So if you look at one of our customers, they pay about $6,000 a year for their private WAN circuits. They get anywhere between 1.5 to 10 Mbps depending on the location and what they've done. Right, for about $1,200 a year, they can get 10x to nearly 100x that capacity using the public internet. Right now, so they go from a model where previously they had two private WAN circuits, one in active, one in backup, to really a one private WAN, one internet circuit. But combined, they have increased the capacity at that site from about 10 Mbps to nearly 100, 200 Mbps, while lowering the cost by about 50%, right? So the math is not fuzzy on this one, right? This is linear algebra, not fuzzy math.
Right, okay. Yeah, point being, it sounds like it is easy enough to calculate ROI if that's what you want to do, because you can re-architect your wide area network such that you don't need as much bandwidth and can maybe eliminate circuits altogether. So if you look at the operational stuff as going, yeah, that's a little fuzzy. I don't know if I can really get an ROI out of that. Nothing that's going to make my accountant happy anyway. You can say, okay, we're going to reduce this circuit to this much bandwidth instead. We're going to pump this traffic over the internet, and because that's cheap pipe. And then, of course, the quality of service concerns are still there, but the CloudGenix solution is managing that in real time to make sure that traffic is going over the transport that's going to give it the best treatment and the treatment that it needs.
Yeah, and I like to tell customers, don't take my word for it. Try it out in your environment, and we'll demonstrate and prove it to you that it indeed does. And one of the great things about the way we've delivered the product is really that it truly is a very rapid and easy cut-in to consume this new technology. I've been at on the customer side of the vendor-customer relationship more often than not. And one of the things I always used to ask myself is, hey, new technology is great. How do I introduce it into my environment in a de-risked manner? Because that's critical for the success of the project. So what we've done with CloudGenix is that you can, one, bring it into one remote site, right? Cut it into discover or monitor mode. It doesn't change anything. It'll quickly produce an ROI, custom ROI report that shows in your environment, here's how much savings that we can expect. Second, once you've established that the solution is working well in monitor mode, press a button, it gets activated. And now, in an isolated part of your network, you're testing out in a new technology, getting all the benefits. You get to go walk into your CFO's office or your CIO's office and say, hey, here's a report where in a very de-risked manner, what I've done is I have taken a site, brought in new technology, and this report shows that we've shaved off anywhere between 50%. If you believe Ethan, 30%. If you believe me, up to 70%. Somewhere in the middle, maybe it's 50, of costs of the WAN. And we can now spread it across the rest of the enterprise. And we can do it in a manner that is convenient for the enterprise, right? You don't have to replace on day one. All the logic that of the system is such that when we are in this sitting behind the router mode, anything happens to us, we fail to your existing network. So you can introduce the solution in a highly de-risked manner. Whenever it is time to retire your existing networking infrastructure, we're all thumbs up.
So one thing I want to highlight here is, from my understanding, you're talking about having virtual machines and software. So does this mean I can now build a WAN connection from my branch offices to a public cloud deployment? Can I take your appliance and put it there as well and start to use it for that too?
That's exactly right. The model of the network today really has to be that any location to any other location, they can be brought together over any kind of heterogeneous transport. And that's a very important aspect of being software and not relying on custom hardware. The reason we're able to do that is because of centralization of a lot of functions that traditionally have required custom hardware at the remote edges. So what you can do with the CloudGenix solution is that you can just as easily spin up an Amazon VPC node or an Azure node as your data center node as a few new branches. And you can have the virtual software running in the IaaS cloud. You can have appliances running elsewhere. And they will all mesh together to really to form this software-defined network that makes it really rapid and easy to consume cloud services. One of our customers, they've been trying to use models where the data center bursts into Amazon's VPC. And the customer, when we were talking to them, they said that they didn't really like that model because in part they don't want the access to the VPC to go through data center because the point of having that VPC is that if the data center fails, that VPC is actually directly available to all the remote sites. So you really need that any-to-any connectivity and not this trombone where the data center becomes a choke point.
You don't want to loop it through the data center and then off into the public cloud. You want to go straight to the cloud. But as soon as you do that, you lose visibility, you lose control, your traffic shaping goes down the hoops. You don't know what's happening at the branch site. But because a CloudGenix appliance is in there, you're still getting the visibility into the flows. You're doing encryption between the endpoints so that it's safe, and you're still getting visibility. So that to me is kind of key. You don't know what the public cloud's going to do for your enterprise. It's certainly not most of the people I'm speaking to, but you need something that's going to be able to embrace that in the future. And it's got to be more than just VPN connections.
Yep. That's exactly right. And, as part of that, certainly like to emphasize this, is really the ease of use of the solution, right? Having been on the customer side, the one word we always hear is, we are a zero-touch solution, right? And everybody is zero-touch till the time, it's actually 0.1. Maybe it's a 0.2 touch. It's not really zero-touch. But CloudGenix, what we've done, is this is truly zero touch. You come in, you set up your policies, you give a name to a site, and you truly are done, right? And one of our great war stories from a customer engagement was the customer had a 2-week POC window planned with some of the legacy technologies out there, and we're on the phone, and I said, hey, we don't want 2 weeks. Do you have 30 minutes? And the customer says, really? 30 minutes? And we showed up. And in 15 minutes, the engineer had the solution working. We were actually in their network, having the application and traffic flowing through the devices, providing the value that we provide. And this is a very, very important thing when I look at what we are trying to do for the day in the life of the network and IT administrator.
So, Kumar, thank you for coming on Packet Pushers and on Priority Queue today. And what do you suggest for people that want to get into this a little bit more and do some homework? I know you guys have some material out there. I'll mention this while I'm thinking about it. You and I are going to be chatting at Interop briefly during there's a startup session that I'm going to be hosting, and CloudGenix is one of the startups that's going to be on the platform there. What else?
So I'd certainly encourage people to visit our website, cloudgenix.com. I'd encourage them to even look at third-party reports like the Gartner report. There's a report called Hybrid Will Be the New Normal in Next Generation Enterprise WANs. We allow for a quick download of that report too. I'd certainly encourage customers to educate themselves a little bit. And then the best thing to do is to try, right? Try it out, kick the tires. We've made it very, very easy to try it out. You can try it out in the lab or preferably try it out even in production and monitor mode. Pick one site, pick two sites, give it a shot, and walk into your CFO's or CIO's office and be the hero. Nothing wrong with that.
Kumar, are you active on social media at all? You got a Twitter account? You blog anywhere, anything like that?
Yes, Kumar Bytes is my Twitter account, B-Y-T-E-S. As you can see, I'm not lost my geeky roots yet. CloudGenix, at CloudGenix is our company's Twitter account too. So we'd love to have you follow us.
Greg, any parting thoughts?
I'm still excited about SD-WAN. You know, you and I keep talking about this in the back channels offline, and I still think there's more to be discovered, particularly today. The emphasis, we led off the discussion around security, and I come up with some new things about the security with the, you know, the IDS engines at the WAN edge. You need to have your traffic groom. So there's still more to be learned about SD-WAN, you know, change flexibility, the visibility of it, because you get, you know, network management kind of comes for free with an SD-WAN solution. It's not entirely true. You still need to do some stuff after that, but, or you may want to bring your existing stuff on top. But, you know, I think, and I agree that there's, you know, I think 50 to 70% that Kumar said, I'm still going to stand by it. And so that's incredibly optimistic. And I think most people would find that hard to believe. But even if you can take 30% off your WAN budget, you know, that's a lot of money in anybody's
It's interesting. On that specific point, here's what I was thinking about. If you can replace private WAN with multiple internet circuits that are big pipes, you can maybe get there to the big numbers that Kumar was talking about. As I was pondering that, going, wait a minute. What if I tell Verizon or AT&T, whoever it is, just to take a hike with their super high-priced private MPLS circuits, and I just go all internet, like a secondary tier 2 feed and then a tier 1 feed and maybe even a tertiary feed, get way more megabits per second for, you know, less money, and throw it out CloudGenix and let it figure it out. It'd be an interesting scenario.
Well, you could replace two private WAN circuits. So if you're getting, say, a 10 meg private WAN circuit, you could probably buy two 10 meg internet circuits and still have money, you know, still have more than pizza money left over.
Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of this edition of the Packet Pusher's Priority Queue channel. You can follow Greg at Ethereal Mind, and his blog is etherealmind.com. I am Ethan Banks at EC Banks, and my blog is ethancbanks.com. We thank you to CloudGenix for sponsoring the show today. If you have any questions about this show, you can email us, packetpushers@gmail.com. We'll respond just as quick as we can, or get you in touch with someone that can. Last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.